This Edgar Profiles podcast is supported by Ping. Edgar is an association of national federations formed in the year 2000 to develop and encourage initiatives which raise the awareness of golf, both as a participation and competitive sport for individuals with disability. For more information about Edgar, please visit edgargolf.com. Your host for this episode is Tony Bennett. Ping. Play your best.
20 centimetres, depending on the context, can make an appreciable or an insignificant difference. Johan Kammerstad views the 20 centimetres difference he had in leg length as being merely something that he had to deal with. 3 leg lengthening operations have resulted in Johan doing away with the lifts that he previously used under his right shoe. He says it does not affect him, and that it is all he has ever known. Pragmatic, perhaps. Realistic, certainly. It seems that Johan has found a comfortable place, one which is grounded in the realisation that golf is important to him, and that he can play the game well regardless of his disability. Please enjoy my conversation with Johan Kammerstad.
Ping. Play your best.
Johan, good to be with you. Thanks for making the time in the middle of a tournament as well. I wanted to talk to you for quite a while because you've got a fantastic record in European Championships. But I'm not going to start in the European Championships. I want to start right at the beginning, if I can do so. Can you tell me a little bit about how you first got involved in golf? Who was the person that gave you the club for the first time? How did you get started?
My dad played, so he brought me along to the golf course, and when I was maybe 8, something like that, and I started playing around that time.
Did he drag you to the golf club? Did you want to go there, or was it something you were quite keen to do?
I enjoyed it from the start, I think. And I played back in my parents' house in the backyard there.
Right.
Chipping and pitching. So I got bitten straight away, I think, yeah.
What was it about golf in those days? Can you remember? Was it just the environment or the people? Or what was it about golf?
I don't know why. I played a lot of sports when I was younger.
Right.
Tried many things. But I stick to golf all the way. So I kept on going.
So you started with dad, but then did you go to... Because Sweden is very famous for its junior schools, junior golf schools.
I went through my club when I was a kid, where I played.
And what was that club?
Called Eskilstuna Golf Club.
And we had where's that?
It's
a big country, Sweden.
Yeah, it's maybe 1 hour's drive west of Stockholm.
Okay.
Yeah, and we had an English pro, Scottish pro, Alistair Scott Robinson, it was called.
Okay.
So he started out with all the kids, and then other trainers took over. We got older, and maybe.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was it a pretty buoyant school? Lots of kids there.
Yeah, we had a nice group of kids playing, all the way up to junior years, up to 20, 21.
And you kind of put some of the other sports at one side, or did you play those? Did you continue to play those as well?
More on a recreational basis, maybe. Played badminton and pings when I was younger, and lots of balls anyway, and ball sports.
And so tell me a little bit about your progress. So you said you started at 8.
Yeah.
So you started to progress a little bit. And so as you were getting to, let's say, 14, 15, 16 years of age, what kind of player were you then?
I played a lot of tournaments, maybe when I was around 14, 15 maybe, we had some sort of tour. It was called Östturen at that time. It was in the maybe regional competition, so it was maybe 36 or 54 holes, and I started playing there when I was maybe 16, and then I played through that until I was 18, and then I had big surgery, so I didn't play for maybe 1.5 years, 2 years.
Okay.
And then I started playing again.
So what sort of handicap would you be when you were playing in those events?
I don't know. I maybe I got down to around 3-4 maybe,
yeah,
around that time. And then I came down to scratch maybe when I was 20, 21, and then below scratch as well.
So tell me a little bit about your disability, because you play golf not only with disabled players, you play golf with able-bodied players quite regularly as well. In fact, probably more often than you play with disabled players, I guess.
Earlier, I almost, most of the times played just with the ordinary, or what you, I don't know what to call them. But now, when you have a family and you have to make other priorities, so now I mainly just play these type of events and then with friends or maybe at work or something like that.
So can you explain what your disability is and how it affects you?
I have I was born with some sort of I don't know what the English word, yes, disability. Some bones are missing and very poor movement in my knee and lack of muscles and so. Then the leg hasn't grown in the same speed as the rest of me, so I've done 3 leg lengthenings during the year. So I think it's maybe around 20 centimeters that I've have had instruments in the bone. And
it's extended the leg.
Yeah, extended the leg back home. And then,
so your first major surgery, I think you mentioned, or you had a big surgery, I think you mentioned, when you were about 16 years old.
18. So oh, that 18. Was the last time I did a leg lengthening. So that time I think it was 7 centimeters. I had one of these heels on my right shoe when I was younger. So the main thing was to get rid of that because I got bored with it.
So how does that affect you on a day-to-day basis? The fact that your leg is not the same as the other leg?
It doesn't affect me. I'm used to it. I've never experienced anything else, so it's been natural to me during all my years.
Does it have any kind of effect on your spine when the leg was significantly a different length?
That was maybe one of the things that I'm worried about, is maybe my back will feel started to feel pain or something like that, but none so far, so that's nice.
And you do a lot of maintenance to make sure that your back stays healthy?
No, nothing.
No, that's not good.
Oh, I know.
So you now got down to about scratch, you said, when you were about 20 years of age.
Yeah.
There and thereabouts.
Yeah.
And you were playing at that stage some pretty good tournaments.
I was playing, not much, but a few times on the Swedish golf tour. But then I turned professional when I was maybe around that 21 or something, and tried to compete on that level, but the competition is fierce. So then I, maybe around 24, 25, I got a real job and started working. Then it's been more of a fun thing to do instead, just to play golf.
So you got your amateur status back?
Yeah.
And you now play for the Swedish national team?
Yeah, exactly. And
so how long have you been playing for that team?
My first tournament, I think, was just when I got back from the maybe 20, 21.
Okay.
Yeah. I was born 75, so 96, 21, yeah.
Okay. And so in that time, you've obviously seen quite a few players come into the team, and you've seen some players go out of the team.
Yeah. A few, Marcus and I are the ones that has been all the time.
But you're hanging on.
Yeah, we're hanging on. We're the old guys now. But it's good to see Rasmus and the other guys coming up.
It's funny, when I spoke to some of your teammates, they said you're hanging on as well. So, so during that time, though, you've had a very good career, and you've played a lot of tournaments, and you've won some very good tournaments. And I know you've been a multiple winner of the European Championship.
Yeah.
So can you tell me about the first one that you won, how that felt?
The first one we played, I lost to another Swedish guy, but that, I think it was unofficial, the one in Halmstad in Sweden.
99?
No, I think that was 96, maybe. Okay.
And tell me about the competition, because clearly over that period of time, and certainly from 2000 to today,
yeah,
18 years,
yeah,
there's a lot different competition now, I guess, than there was going back to 2000.
Yeah, there are a lot more guys now. Earlier, when around the millennium, it was Stefan and I, Stefan Markholst, we were battling out at that time. And he has hung on as well. So, but now when Juan and the Swedish guys and a couple of English guys, they're really good. It's a lot harder now, the competition.
Would you say that's general in all tournaments? Because you've obviously played in many of them and in other parts of the world as well.
Yeah, no, not every tournament, but the big ones, the European championships are much harder nowadays. Better scores and, yeah, tougher.
So when you've turned pro, you've got your amateur status back,
yeah,
you're playing in some tournaments, and you then took another break. You had another period of time where you were off from the game?
No, I think I've played all the time, but maybe more or less.
Okay.
So maybe it was a period there where I didn't play that much.
And I guess that one of the questions that most people are interested to know is, what have you learnt about yourself by playing golf?
I don't know. Yeah, I need to keep my cool and not get aroused or shouting and throwing clubs, because I've done that through the years. But nowadays, I don't get that angry anymore.
You accept it a little bit better?
Yeah, exactly.
And what about the people that you work with? Do you have any trainer that you work with, any coach?
No. When I was a junior, we had good trainers on the club, and I have a good friend who is a great coach, so he has helped me through the years as well. But now I've played so many years and I know what I'm doing, so I can coach myself, sort of.
What does golf mean to you?
It means a lot. I work with golf as well. Professionally, back home, not as a trainer or anything, but in a golf store. But it's my interest.
With the young guys that are coming through,
yeah.
So you're almost now, I'm sorry to say, but being an older statesman in
the
team.
Yeah.
I guess that the younger guys look to you as well for a little bit of guidance sometimes, and maybe some leadership. And
yeah, maybe.
So how does that team dynamic work? Because you've got quite a few guys in the team.
Yeah.
You get together, I think, relatively frequently.
Yeah. But I think everybody treats each other like friends, more or less, with lots of laughter and jokes. So I don't think there is some sort of hierarchy or anything like that. It's just a group of guys who likes to play golf that have fun.
And you get together sometimes outside of golf?
No, maybe I can. Marcus and I, maybe we can get together maybe off the course, but no. Yeah, when if I go to his hometown with my family, we maybe hook up or something.
What do you expect for the next few years of golf for the disabled, because it's certainly made a big leap over the last few years? Things are moving forward. What kind of things are you looking for to change in disabled golf?
It would be, I don't know what can change. I hope the new people will join the competitions, so the status can get be higher and competition gets tougher. Means maybe we can, if the numbers increase, we can maybe go to better golf courses and nicer tournaments.
You played in the European Individual Championship in Trier earlier this year.
Yeah.
How was that event for you?
It was really good. It was good. Maybe I wanted to play a little better, but I played solidly. And it was a great course, really nice.
I know you had it going on that last afternoon.
Yeah.
On the first nine.
My back nine was bad, my front nine was good. I don't know, it was the same today. I played well back the front nine and then lost it on the back nine. Maybe I'm too old, I don't have the strength.
Tell me, I just want to ask you this question about if you had any advice that you could give. So somebody's a similar situation to yourself.
Yeah.
And so they've got a leg that's maybe not quite as well as developed as the other one.
Yeah.
And it's causing them some issues in the early days. Yeah. What advice would you want to give them? Because you've gone through all of that. Yeah. So what advice would you want to give them?
Just play. I don't know what to say, really. If they have a course nearby with a PGA professional or something like that, they can help with maybe the equipment, because maybe they want, if they can adapt the equipment so that it fits them, suits them better, and then find a way to play. Just look at everybody here today. They all play different ways and it works for everybody, so just find a way and enjoy the game.
If you could, this is my final question, so if you could make, let's say, one change to golf for the development of the sport.
Yeah.
What would it be?
I don't know. Tough question.
What would you like to see happen?
It would be fun if golf got into the Paralympics, but I don't know if it's possible with all the different categories and that it would require, I think.
Well, we have an application in, so that's already in process now.
Yeah,
so
I know as well, but
we hope we don't get any news in September, because if we get news in September, it's probably bad news.
Okay.
So we hope that we only get news in January.
Yeah.
Which it could still be bad news, but at least we'll be down to the final. So we hope, we keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So, look, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it. And all the best for tomorrow. Hope you play well.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll see you playing for many more years on the Disabled Golf Tour.
Yeah, perfect.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Ping.
Play your best.
Our partners are very important to Edgar. And I would like to introduce you to a short, true story told by Ping.
In 1959, Karsten designed a putter that he went on to call the 1A. This was probably the first putter ever designed by a professional engineer. It looked nothing like the golf world had ever seen. The head was made from material never used before in club making. The face was floating, attached only at the heel and toe. Karsten had invented perimeter weighting. He knew by moving the weight around the perimeter of the putter head, it would drastically minimize twisting on off-centered struck putts. The stable head produced a level of forgiveness and accuracy that made the game easier. With his first prototype design of the 1A putter, he drilled a hole in the head and put a shaft in it. When he putted a ball on the floor, the design made a ping sound. Karsten immediately recognized the significance of the sound. Not only was his new putter a step forward in putter design, it had a unique musical marketing angle and subsequently provided a distinctive name for the business. Ping. What other name could he call it?
This was an Edgar Player story supported by Ping, helping golfers to play their best. For more information about Edgar, please visit edgargolf.com. Stay tuned for the next Edgar podcast. Ping. Play your best.